You may recall that there's an issue in the poskim about Kriyas HaMegillah. How early can you possibly read the Megillah? Meaning, how early in the month of Adar? So we know from the Mishnah at the beginning of the Sefta Megillah that the earliest time for reading the Megillah is Yud Aleph. Now, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, otherwise known as Yom HaKnisa, was a takana that was made at a certain point in history on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim. And the Gemara at the beginning of Megillah is perplexed about this. Because if you read the Megillah itself, then Purim was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola on 2 days of Adar. That's Yudalid for the Ayoros and Chaf and Tazvav for the Krochim. And now at some later point in time when the Bnei HaKfarim were having trouble, because they couldn't read the Megillah on their own, they came into the big cities, but they only slept in on Mondays and Thursdays, so they made this takana of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So the Gemara is upset about this. Why? We have a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin that says, Ein bezdin yochel avatel divrich bezdin shel chavero elim kein gadol bimenu b'chochma uv'minyan. So there are two conditions that have to be met for a later Bezdin to change and undermine the enactment of an earlier Bezdin. The later Bezdin would have to be greater both in numbers, what we would call kamus, and also in quality, in chachma, which we would call echus. And the Gemara understood that Anshei Knesset HaGdola that established Purim on the days of the 14th and the 15th, they were the highest level of chachma b'minyan that was ever achieved. There was no havamin in the Gemara that a later Bezdin would be able to override that takana based on the greatness of a later Bezdin compared to the earlier Bezdin of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So the Gemara is very bothered. How is it possible that they were able to add 3 extra days for the reading of the Megillah when the enactment of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, as codified in the Megillah itself, was 2 days, the 14th and the 15th? Now, the Emek Bracha, have I mentioned to you the Emek Bracha in the past? His name was Rabbi Aryeh Pomeranchik. He lived in our time. He's gone already a long time, but he asks the following question. The Yerushalmi says that the entire month of Adar is appropriate for Kriyas HaMegillah. The Yerushalmi actually derives this from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Hachodesh asher nefach lahem miyogod ulesimcha." So, if need be, if a person has no option of reading the Megillah in its time, he can read it as early as Adar, as Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why then does the Gemara assume that establishing the days of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim would be a bittul of the original Takana? The original Takana included the entire month of Adar. In other words, the Gemara's language on Daf Beis is Asu Rabbanan V'tiknu Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. How could it be that the Rabbanan established these days of the 11th, 12th, and 13th? But tonight we have a Mishnah that says, Ein Bezdin Yochel Avatul Divrei Bezdin Shel Chavero Elim Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma B'Minyan. There's no way that there were, that these conditions that are required to overturn the original Gzera would have been met. That's the Gemara's Tmiyah. But the Emek Bracha says there's a very simple answer to that question. The entire month of Adar is appropriate for Kriyas HaMegillah, as the Yerushalmi derives it from a pasuk. So why is this called Akiras Takanas Chachamim? Why is this considered a case where Bezdin is being Mavatal Divrei Bezdin Shel Chavero? Again, the premise here of the Emek Bracha is that this Yerushalmi was very well known to the Bavli. And if not, the Yerushalmi also asks the same question as the Bavli, so we can always limit his kasha to the Yerushalmi. But in any event, we have this kind of contradiction. On the one hand, the Gemara says that establishing the days of Yom HaKnisa is an undermining of the original Takana, and how could they do such a thing? And on the second hand, we know that the entire month of Adar is fit and is appropriate for Megillah reading. So that's not an Akiras Tov Min HaTorah. So before we get into the answer here, I just want to say the following. It could very well be that this law of Chodesh Adar, as formulated by the Yerushalmi and derived from a Pasuk, is not the same as a Takonas Zmanim. You remember that the Gemara says, Zmanim harbe tiklu lehem chachamim. It could be that there's what I call strata. Strata meaning there are different levels over here. You know, there's one level of Yudalit Tesvav. There's another level of Yudalit Yubezi Gimel called the Yom HaKnisa V'nei HaKfarim. And then there's a din that applies to the entire month of Adar. That din is not the real McCoy din. Meaning, it's not a din that would undermine the Takonas Chachamim of Yudalit and Tesvav. But let's see the way he develops this here in the Gvuras Yitzchak. And he says the following. How do we understand this takana of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, which according to Chazal creates a threat to undermine the original takana of Yud Dalet and Tesvav? So the Gemara derives it from a pasuk, L'kayim es yimei apurim ha'elu bizmanehem. Says the Gemara, Zmanim harbe tiknu lahem. The basis and the source in the Megillah for this halacha, this expansion of Yom HaKnisa, of Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, is L'kayim es yimei apurim elu bizmanehem. Let's emphasize the word bizmanehem. Oh, bizmanehem means that there are many Zmanim for Kriyas HaMegillah. So we have one Zman for the Ayoros on Yudalit. We have another Zman for the Mukafim, the Krochim on Tesvah. Now we're saying that there's another Zman for the Bnei HaKfarim, and that's called the Yom HaKnisa. And this is the way the Rambam formulates it in the beginning of Hilchos Megillah. He says, and we've seen this Rambam in the past, Ezu Zman Kriyasa, Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lehem Chachamim, Shenemar Bizmaneim. And the Rambam goes on to delineate this structure, you know, where this group reads it on this day and this on the other day and so forth and so on. But we see clearly from the Rambam that this concept of Yom HaKnisa, meaning Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, is another Zman of Nikra Megillah. Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachamim. Now, when you say Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachamim, that subdivides into two categories. There's a Zman that was set up by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and what was that? Yudalit and Tesvav. And then it was a Zman that was set up by the Chacham at a later date when they realized that the Bnei HaKfarim were having trouble showing up for Megillah reading. So they set up another Zman. Oh, you're setting up another Zman. Then you're being Oker and Mavatel, the original Takana. The original Takana was 2 days. And the Gemara ultimately says, well, no, the original Takana was Zmanim Harbe, right? That they already, but we're not ready for the Gemara's answer yet, right? But in the Habamim, the Gemara thinks that if there were only two Zmanim, namely Yudalit and Tesvav, that were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, how can you add another Zman? Oh, now, if not for this Gemara that derives from the Pasuk Bizmanehem, that Zmanim Harbe Tiknulem Chachamim, we could have said the following. Even for the Bnei HaKfarim, the Zman of Megillah is Yudalit and Tesvav. There is no other alternative Zman. We're going to make a Kula. What do I mean by Kula? We have the Bnei HaKfarim. It's very difficult for them, nearly impossible for them to come in for the Megillah reading on Yudalit. So you know what we're going to say to them? As far as Megillah reading is concerned, we have a Kula for you. We're going to allow you to read the Megillah and fulfill a basic mitzvah of Megillah on a different day, on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. If that were the case, the Gemara would never have raised the question of Akiras or Bittul Takonis Chachomim. We're not being Mavatul the Chachomim. The Chachomim set up two Zmanim, and that's Yudal Tesvav. We're not upsetting that. We're not adding new Zmanim. We're just giving a kula. You know, I don't want to give a mashal here, but Birchas Ari'iyah and Chanukah, you know, we know that he doesn't have a bias, we'll give him a possibility of somehow clinging on and achieving some minimum kiyum. So we'll give the B'nai HaKfarim a minimum kiyum, a kula, that, you know what, their Kriyas HaMegil is also chashuv, it's also considered a Kriyas HaMegil. But that's not a zman of Mikra Megillah. That itself would not have brought the Gemara to ask the Stira, how could it be that one Bezdin would institute a different set of Zmanim? But the answer is that since the Gemara says that Lekayim Esimea Purim Elu means Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lahem, then we have an original Takana of two Zmanim of Yudalit and Tesvav, and then a later Takana of Yudalif Yudbez Yud Gimel. That's going to bring the Gemara to ask the following question: how can you upset and undermine the original takon of two zmanim by adding another three zmanim? Based on this, he wants to answer the kasha of the Emek Broch. The halacha of the Yushalmi that's derived from Achodesh Asher Nefach Lehem Yogon L'Simcha and Kol Achodesh Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah, that's not a new zman. We're not setting up Adar as a whole as a Zman for Mikra Megillah, and he's going to prove this in just a minute, so hang on. But rather, Ein Zeh Chashuv Kriya Bizmana. Kriya Bizmana only applies to the 5 days that are mentioned in the Mishnah from Yudal to Tesvah. What is Chodesh Hazer Nefach L'Simcha? That's a Kula. It means that someone who doesn't have the ability, you know, he's out on a cruise, right? Not a cruise for the sake of pleasure, but I mean to say he's out on a business ship, and he won't have access to Megillah, so they made a kula, and the Yerushalmi says that for the entire month of Adar, we're going to allow you to read the Megillah and get a minimum kiyum. In Yiddish, we would say, besem garnished. But it's not really a zman of Megillah. And he proves it from the language of the Ritva. The Ritva says that, I assume, by the way, that the first page we have in front of you is Reish Dalet?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. The Ritva says on the, this at the very tippy end of this page, he says, Kol HaChodesh Tfei Lekel Meimar, V'chein Amrinon. In other words, beyond this Chodesh, you can't, let's say, for example, you want to read the Megillah at the end of Shvat, that you can't do. V'chein Amrinon B'Yushalmi Kol HaChodesh Koshel Mikra Megillah D'Chsiv HaChodesh Asher Nefach. V'hainu da gemara parach neima tizmaneihem marbe to kol achodesh. So there's a havamina that maybe the words maneihem would even go back as far as the entire month, and that's considered mikri kriya bizmana. Umay taima, 1 second. Just 1 second, I lost the... Oh, here it is. Umay taima Lo Ravinon, why don't we have a ribui? Rak Yud Aleph and Yud Beis Lechut. Okay, the Gemara says Yud Gimel is derived from a different, what's called Zman Kihilo Lakol. I don't want to get into that now. So the Gemara answers, Dumya Dizmanom. That Zmanayim is like Zmanom. Ma Zmanom Trey, there are only 2 days. Af Bizmanayim Trey. Ratzalomar. The Af Agav de Kol Chodesh Kosha Lekriyasa. Mikomakom lochashiva kriya bizmana. Divizmanayam ismanam, it means 2 days. Shar chodesh af de kosher likrosbo lochashiv kriya bizmana. So let's see if we can now answer the question of the Emek Broch. The Emek Broch says, what do you mean they made a takana to undermine the original takana? That's not true. All of Adar is royal Akriya. He says, no. What they were worried about was Zmanim Harbe Tiknulem Chachomim. Whereas the original Takana was 2 days, now they're breaking new ground and they're adding another 3 days of Zman. That already undermines the original Takana. What does that have to do with the Yushalmi? Nothing. Why? Because Yerushalmi is talking about a different din, a special kula for someone who absolutely will not be able to achieve the mitzvah of Megillah Bizmana. We didn't want to leave him, so to speak, proverbially, out in the cold. So what we gave him the opportunity was to read the Megillah during the entire month of Adar. That has nothing to do with the original takana. What we're saying is that if you can't fulfill the original takana, namely on its zman, then we'll give you the opportunity of reading the Megillah earlier. So my nafkamina, is there a nafkamina l'din other than just this issue of whether we're being okay or an original takana? Or a nafkamina l'din as to whether you call it a kriya bizmana or you call it a special kula to allow a person to get some benefit or to latch on to some kiyum of kriya samagil. So I'm going to fast forward for a minute and then come back to the Ran. He says the following. What happens if a person has to read the Megillah sometime during the month of Adar and then, surprise, he gets an opportunity to read the Megillah again on Yudalit and Tesvav. So if you look, take a look on page Reishvav for a minute, which I think is the next to last page you have, and he says the following, that with regard to the Bnei HaKfarim, the halacha is that if they read the Megillah on Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, and then they found themselves on Yudalit in the city, is kol shekaro biyom haknisa hare niftaru al yidei kriya zu v'einam tzrichim likros mimena be'ir. Even if they would show up in the city on Yudalit, they're not obligated to read it a second time around.
So it's not a bit yet.
It's a zman. You follow? There's a new zman. So the good news is that as a result of this new zman, they don't have to read it in a different zman, because they were mekayim the mitzvah of kriya bizmana. Their zman was included under zmanim harbei tikkun lechachom. The bad news is that how can you establish a new zman and undermine the original takana till the Gemara comes up with this answer about zmanehem? Masha enken kriya b'chol achodesh eino poter mi kriya bizmana. Do you have my chicken scratch on the right side? Oh, I wanted to suggest, I mean, just lefi ani estaiti, this is the din of tefillah ktsara, right? The Gemara says you're stuck in a very dangerous situation. There are animals and beasts around, and they could attack you. You don't have the ability to stand the whole Shmon Esrei. So you recite a tefillah ktsara. You know, say, Hashem, save me. But the Gemara says that if later on he's spared from the danger, then he has to daven Shmon Esrei. He cannot fulfill his mitzvah of tefillah by reciting a tefillah ktsara. Tefillah Ketzara is the barest minimum that we're going to allow you to achieve in a Makom Sakana. And if, in fact, you don't get a chance to daven, because let's say the Sakana expands throughout that Ona, you know, that whole period of time, so then you are Makayim, your barest minimum Kiyum of Tefillah. That's the cool of Tefillah Ketzara. But if Lu Yitzuyer, you get the opportunity to daven within that Ona, a Tefillah of Shmon Esrei, that's what you have to do. Again, I was just giving that with Saber to Ozen. He's saying that what happens if you read the Megillah at the beginning of Adar, whatever day it is, somewhere between Aleph Adar and Yud Aleph Adar, let's say those 10 days, and now you have the opportunity of reading the Megillah again, Bizmana, you would have to do so. Masha Enkein, in the case of Yom HaKnisa, insofar as it's a Zman of Megillah that was established by Chazal, he, meaning the Ben Kfar, was Yotze already on Yudal Fibes Yud Gimel, even if he finds himself together with his city slickers on Yudal Tesvav, he's not obligated in what? In a second creed. Now let's go back to the Ran. So again, the reason why I fast-forwarded here is because I think this really clarifies what he's saying. Why is the Gemara bothered by Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, as if we undermine the original Takana? And the Gemara's not bothered, as the Emek Bracha points out, by the din of Kol HaChodesh. And the answer is because Kol HaChodesh is not Zmana. Whereas Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel was established as a Zman Kriya, Haraya, if later on they find themselves on Yudalit and Tesvav with the opportunity of hearing the Megillah, they're not obligated to do so, they already have fulfilled their obligation. Not so in the case of Kriya V'Chodesh Adar, there will give you this opportunity, if there's no other opportunity, to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Samigil in its most minimum form on Rosh Chodesh Adar, you know, the first 10 days in Adar. But if later on you get the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah because you find yourself in a city on the 14th, that's exactly what you'll be required to do. That doesn't upset the original takana. That's just a separate kula that we're going to allow you, even though it's not the real Kriya Bismana, to fulfill some part, if you will, of the mitzvah of Kriya Samigil.
And if he finds himself on Yud Dalet in an year that's not Mukafes Choma, and he was originally in a Mukafes Choma, so does he have to do it again? He's not Yotze with his Kriya anyway.
So again, you know, we have a whole sugya which we didn't get to yet called a Ben Yomo. You know, right. It's a Ben Krach Ben Yomo, Ben Ir Ben Yomo. So in this case, if he was a Ben Ir Ben Yomo, then the way we're assuming now is that he was Yotze his Kriya Samigila. Even if he becomes a Ben Krach Ben Yomo, he would not have to read the Megillah. Again, in the Bir Aloch and the Mishabur, he has the possibility that he has to hear the Megillah another two times. Right. But that's just a product of the theoretical Lomdisha world. But in practical normative halacha, once he was Yotzei Bismana, then that's it. The chiddush here is that Yudalef Yibes Yigimel is called Bismana, and that the Bnei HaKfarim don't have to repeat the Megillah if they have the opportunity to do so on Yudalef HaTesvah. And that's because these days of Yudalef Yibes Yigimel were established as Manehem, as Man HaMegillah. If it's Man HaMegillah, that upsets the apple cart in the original Takana that had only 2 days of Zman HaMegillah, till the Gemara comes up with this remez that even the Anshei Knesset HaGdola allowed for these extra 3 days.
And all the other things that go along with the Kriya HaMegillah, do they have to do that too?
Right, that's called Asiya. So, as we mentioned yesterday, the Asiya is postponed to Yudalet. So that the Sudas Purim, Suda Mishta would be on Yudalit, even though, let's say, on Yud Gimel or whatever day of the month it was, the Bnei HaKfarim read the Megillah. And now we have another Nafkamina. Would there be Kriya Belaila? So let's say, for example, a person is going out on this cruise that I mentioned before. What would be a better word than cruise? Like an import-export ship, you know, some
seaway.
A sea voyage, but for the sake of a purpose, right? We're not, you know, we're not talking about people who just want to take off.
Right. An excursion.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a business excursion. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking about
on a freighter.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not because you want to see the Sistine Chapel. You know what I'm saying? Which I don't know if you're allowed to see, but anyway. We're talking about a freighter. Okay, we'll call it a freighter. I like that word. Thank you. So, in that case, We have a problem here. The Ran raises this problem of Megillah Balayla. The Gemara says on the Aftalah you have to read the Megillah not only by day but also at night. The Gemara derives that from Sukkim. So the Ran vacillates back and forth whether or not the Bnei HaKfarim who are reading the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel are obligated to hear the Megillah at night. The night going into Yud Aleph, the night going into Yud Beis.
He's not vacillating whether nighttime is the ikkar and the day is not. Why did he pick the day as the ikkar and the
night? Oh, because the Kriyas HaMegillah, the ikkar Kriyas HaMegillah is by day. That's a fundamental principle. Like, for example, Tosafot says that we repeat Shechiyonu by day, and then the Poskim say if you have a choice between Megillah at night and by day, because it's one or the other, then you should read the Megillah by day. And this is based on the Posk HaYomim HaElu Nasim Nizkar V'Nasim. So, for example, all the Asiya of Purim is by day. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi has enacted another takana that we should read the Megillah at night. So the question is, are we going to impose on the Bnei HaKfarim that additional tag on chiyuv of Kriya Balayla? And the Ran vacillates back and forth on this. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafresh Peches that it's pasha to him that the same din, or the same suffix, let's say, in the Ran, would apply to a Yotzei B'Shayara, to someone who goes out on a freighter, is that the word we use? A freighter trip, a freighter at the beginning of Adar. As I state in Mishnah Berurah. So the Mechaber here, the Gevurah Yitzchak, he claims no. That even according to the Ran, that there might be an imposition of Lila as well, he's only talking about the Bnei HaKfarim. The Ran never mentioned the Yerushalmi of somebody who goes out at the beginning of Adar. Why? He says the following. What the Ran was trying to figure out, the Yesod HaSofik, as we would call it, was what is Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel for the Kfarim? Is it a Zman Megillah? Or is it just give them the opportunity, because that's the only opportunity they'll have, they can't slip in and out, to read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? And he says the Nafkamina is whether or not they imposed upon him an additional chiyuv of reading the Megillah at night. If we're going to say it's a din in Zman, that this day, we'll call it Yud Aleph, for example, right? That's just one example. Is the Zman of Megillah, then the Zman of Megillah means that this day of Megillah generates two chiyuvim. There are two kriyos. There's Laila and Yom. I give the mashal of B'shal B'chav Kumecha, right? Like in Kriyat Shema. So you have the night that generates a chiyuv Kriyat Shema and the day that generates a chiyuv Kriyat Shema. Here too, if we assume that Yud Aleph was given the status of a Yom Megillah, of the Zman of Megillah, then the Zman of the Megillah includes the night as well as the day. Or should we say no? That what the Chachamim did on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim is not to create a new Zman, but rather to allow them to facilitate the Kiyum, the minimus Kiyum of Kriyas HaMegillah, as a separate Maisa, not because the Zman itself is the Zman of Mikra Megillah. And if that be the case, it's very possible that they only imposed upon him this kiyum of Megillah during the day, which is the Iker Kriya, and they didn't go as far as to expand it to the night. If that be the case, what about Yotze B'Shayar at the beginning of Hadar, which according to the Yerushalmi he reads the Megillah? Is that a Zman Megillah?
No.
The answer is no. Haraya, as we discussed earlier, if he gets the opportunity to read the Megillah B'Zmana, he's obligated to do so. It's kind of like this opportunity of a tefillah k'tzara. We'll let you get away with the barest minimum and read the Megillah on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and then Shalom Yisrael, go out on your freighter trip. But certainly it's not a Zman Megillah. And if it's not a Zman Megillah, then it could very well be, again, it doesn't have to be so, that they only imposed upon him a barest minimum of Kiyum Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, which is the Iker Kriya. So that when the Mishnah Berurah makes this equation here between Yotzei B'Shayara and the case of the Bnei HaKfarim, who are reading it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and to the same extent that the Ran is mitzadeh, the possibility that the Bnei HaKfarim might have to read the Megillah at night, the same thing should apply to Yotze B'Shayara, Mehecha Teisei. Because Yotze B'Shayara is a fundamentally different halacha at all, and it's not the Zman HaMegillah, and when it's not the Zman, I don't necessarily have to include the night together with the day. So it's logically consistent to maintain that the Bnei HaKfarim would have to read the Megillah not only by day and night, but the Yotze B'Shayara, right, implementing the principle of the Yerushalmi, would not have to read the Megillah at night. And here he quotes the Mordechai. So you'll see the Mordechai on the bottom right, going on to the top of the left column here on page Reish He. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Now, this is a beautiful diuk in the Lashon of the Mordechai. You could blink and miss it, but when he points it out to you, it's like an eye-opener. The Mordechai says the following, in the name of the Tosefta. Hayotzim b'shayara, v'hamefarshim layam, v'svina, korin b'yudalit, yesh mi rabosenu omrim, this is all the language of the Mordechai. Again, so far the Mordechai is only allowing a Yotze B'Svina to read it on Yudalit. Let's say, for example, he would normally read it on Tesvav, so we'll give him the option of Yudalit. But now the Yeshmi Rabbi Seinu go much further than that. Sha'omrim, Shem Ein B'Yodam Megillah, if they don't have access to Megillah, and there are Yotze B'Shayara, is then Mutav Shiakdimu V'Yikru'u Mimashalo Yikru Klal. let's translate these words and point out the oddity of this phrase in the Mordechai, in the name of the Yeshmir Rav Hoseinu. They don't have the possibility of Megillah. It's better that they should read the Megillah earlier than not read it at all. If you listen carefully to the tone, you know, the musical tone of this statement, it sounds like there's no real obligation on their part to read the Megillah. But you know what? It's the lesser of evils. You know, if the choice is not to read the Megillah at all, or to read the Megillah earlier in the month, mutav, you know, we would tip the scale in favor of being makdim early in the month, and they should read the Megillah then. And the Mordechai, in the name of the Yeshmir Rav Hoseinu, quotes the Yerushalmi and Megillah that we said before, Kol HaKodesh Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, at this point, the Mordechai makes the following analogy, again, all in the name of the Yeshmir Rav Hoseinu. He says that we find a similar idea in Bedikas Chometz. And we're talking about a Mefarish V'Yotze V'Shayor on Daf, I think it's on Daf Vav, if I'm not mistaken, in Masechta Pesachim. And what does it say in the Gemara? It says that we'll give him an entire chunk of time in which he will do the Bedika, because he's going out of his house, he won't be able to do the Bedika in his home on Leil Yudalit. So we'll give him a full month. You know, from Tu B'Shvat and on, we'll give him an opportunity to search and destroy his chametz. And that's what's called, in the Gemara's language in Pesachim, HaMefarish Bayam V'Yotze V'Shayora Zokuk Levayer. Now, let's underline the word Zokuk here. Zokuk means he's required to be Mevayer his chametz, which means he has to look for his chametz in order to destroy it. And the Gemara goes on and says that even if he's not going to be there in his house on Yontif, he has no intention of returning to his house before Pesach. Nevertheless, we have to worry about this mitzvah of Bedika, of Biur, and he has to be Bodek before he leaves and departs on this trip. And based on this Gemara and Sachim, the Yeshmir Rav Hoseinu say that we have a parallel in Megillah, and that is that a person who's Mefarish V'Yotze V'Shayora, he's got to read the Megillah before he goes out on his journey, as long as it's within Chodesh Adar. Here we're not going to give him a full 30 days. We'll give him another, let's say, 14 days, 13 days, whatever it is. So he writes, Tzarech bir lashon haMordechai, mutav sheyakdimu? What does it mean, mutav sheyakdimu? That's a very strange phrase. And if you're going to tell me, maybe he means that there's no chiyuv, it's just mutav, you know, that some very often Chazal tell you, mutav, you know, it's a good idea to do X, to do Y, you know, it's like a heder mitzvah. That's impossible. Why? Because he equates it with the case of Mefarish V'Yotzei B'Shayora Tosh Loshim Yom Chayav Levayer. And in the framework, in the context of this analogy, it's clear that even in Megillah, if he's a Yotzei L'Shayora, he's Chayav to read the Megillah before he goes out on his trip. So what did the Mordechai mean in the name of the Yeshmer HaSeinu when he said Mutav She'akdimu? He should have said Chayav Lahakdim. Just like in the case of Pesach, it says Zokuk Levayer. It's not a question of, you know, we'll give him extra brownie points. You know, it's a nice thing. We'll give him a ribbon, you know, because he went ahead and he read the Megillah before he left. He quotes the Arzaru at the end of this paragraph, who also presents the same thesis as the Yeshmir Rav Hoseinu in the Mordechai. And he writes, Dehayotze l'derech u'mefarish bayom chayav likros hamegillah kodem sheyetze l'derech. So the language of the Arz Ruah, which is again the thrust of what he's saying, is identical with the Mordechai, but he uses the language of chayav likros hamegillah. He's obligated to read the Megillah before he takes leave. So why did the Mordechai say mutav? Oh, So he wants to suggest, in the light of the structure that we've been organizing here, that there's something called Zman HaKriya, and then there's a separate Kula that Chazal allowed you to be Yotze your Mitzvah Megillah by reading it in a time period that's not Zman HaKriya. And that's what the Mordechai wants to emphasize here. That on the one hand there's a Kriya Bizmana, but as far as Yotze B'Shayara is concerned, and the whole month is endowed with the status of Kriya, that's not a Zman Kriya. That's just a halacha that you can do the Maisa Kriya and you can fulfill the barest minimum of your Kiyum, even though it's not Zman. And therefore, there's a fundamental difference between the Yom HaKnisa Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel and these days at the beginning of Adar. Whereas when we talk about Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, we talk about a Kriya Bizman. When we talk about Kol HaChodesh, that's a different Kiyum. That's not a Kiyum of Bizmana. That's a Kiyum of Kriya Samegillah. So the entire month lends itself to a Kiyum of mitzvahs Megillah. Now, if that be the case, then we begin to appreciate the language of the Mordechai. Why does he say mutav sheyakdimu? What he wants to tell you is that this lowest level of kiyum, which is not a kiyum of kriya bizmana, is better than no kiyum at all. He doesn't mean to say that he's not obligated to do so, but this is a whole different kiyum of Mikra Megillah. It belongs to its own category of HaChodesh, but it's not called Megillah Bizmana. If it would have been Megillah Bizmana, if the entire month of Adar would have been Zman HaMegillah, then the Mordechai would have gone out of his way to say Zokuk Likros. You know, he's Chayav Likros. He has the din of Zmana. The Zman itself is Machayav. We okay? But why did the Mordechai go out of his way to use a different language? Because he wanted to compare and contrast the Kol HaChodesh with the 5 days of Bizmana, Bizmane. So he says Mutav. He's saying that really you're not going to get the Kiyum of the Zman. You know, the day itself generates a Kiyum of Megillah. But you will get a Kriya itself. The Kriya HaMegillah will generate a Kiyum of Mitzvah. It's not the real Mitzvah of Kriya Bizmana. And therefore, in order to demonstrate this or communicate this, the Ritva deliberately uses a language which is indicative of something less than a chovah. And he says, mutav sheyakdimu. What does it mean, mutav sheyakdimu? It means, if he doesn't read the Megillah on Rosh Chodesh Adar, then he's completely bereft from any kiyum of Megillah. Now again, even when he reads in the Chodesh Adar, he's only getting a kiyum of Kriya HaMegillah, but he's not getting a Zmana. But nevertheless, it's better than nothing. So he doesn't mean to exclude a chiyuv when he says mutav sheyakdimu. He just means to tell you that the mutav sheyakdimu is not the real McCoy Kriya Bizmana. And my nafkamina, you're just telling me something theoretical, conceptual, the nafkamina would be if you have the opportunity, even after you heard the Megillah, you know, all of a sudden your ship docked at a certain, you know, somewhere in Hawaii, and 10 natives showed up and they want to read the Megillah. You know, so you never even dreamt that, you know, on your way to sell your, you know, your wares, you're going to find a minion for Megillah. And lo and behold, on some dwarf out there, you know, some godforsaken place, they have a Megillah and they're reading the Megillah. Maybe they got stranded because the LL flight couldn't land on Shabbos. I don't know. They ended up in Athens. So you never guessed that there would be a Megillah over there. So you read the Megillah on Rosh Chodesh Adar because you thought you weren't going to get any opportunity. You still have to hear the Megillah again on your Yud Aleph if you have that possibility, if that opportunity arises. And all this is indicated by the choice of words of the Mordechai when he says mutav sheyakdimu, and that's better than shelo yikra klal. But don't fool yourself into thinking that because you were makdim and on your way out of town, you know, you read the Megillah on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you were really mekayim the mitzvah of Megillah, because the mitzvah of Megillah requires zmanim, and you're going to get a kiyum of Megillah without zmanim. It's a little bit similar, as I said before, in my mind, to tefillah b'makom sakon, tefillah katzara. All this is great until we see the Beis Yosef. And somehow the Beis Yosef is not aware of this whole lovedness. And this is the paragraph at the end of Resh Vav called Ulam. You have it? The Beis Yosef in Simon Tuf Resh Peches writes that Ayotze B'Shayara Shekara Shalom Bizmana Im Nizdamna Lo Megila Bizmana Choser V'Korei. So far so good. And we have a principle called Kolamosif Goreya. If he would have stopped here and collected, you know, collect $200, and that, you know, that would have been fine. Quit while you're ahead. But then he says, Kidin ben Kfar. He wants to suggest the following: that just like a ben Kfar who read on the Yom HaKnisa, he's going to have to read the Megillah a second time if Nizdamnalo, if he has the opportunity to read the Megillah, Chozev Akori Moem. And he equates the case of Yotze B'Shayara with the case of Ben Kfar. And Lechora, the Beis Yosef, is way off the mark over here. Because if you're talking about Yotze B'Shayara Shekar B'lo B'Zmana, for sure he has to be Chozev Akori, because that's not really a key of B'Zmana. And now to equate it, as the Beis Yosef does, with the din of a Ben Kfar, who read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of Megillah Bizmana, Mehechetesi, how do you know that he is going to have to read the Megillah a second time if he shows up in the ear? Is therefore, why does the Beis Yosef need, you know, to justify that the Yotze B'Shayara now has to read the Megillah on the 14th if he has that possibility, to justify it by setting up this analogy to the case of a Ben Kfar, who finds himself in an ear on Yud Dalet. Hello, Yotze B'Shayara Shal Karl Sekriya Shekriya Bizmana Me Olam Lo Niftar Michiv Kriya Bizmana. He's an anus. He cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Bizmana. So they gave him an opportunity to read the Megillah. But if he has a hizdamnut, he has the possibility now of reading the Megillah Bizmana, he's chayiv in that Megillah. Masha Enkin, he says in a Ben Kfar, she niftar mi kriyas yudalev, he gets a different day, and his mana Megillah is on Yud Gimel. Havilon lemei Masha Enol chayiv likros odapam afilu ba be'ir. So why does the Beis Yosef assume that just like in the case of Yosef Shayor and he read the Megillah on Rosh Chodesh, so too a Ben Kfar who read the Megillah on Yud Aleph would have to repeat and read the Megillah again on Yud Dalet? And in fact, at the end of this presentation, he points out that there are some Rishonim, Tosus amongst them, in Megillah Daf Yutesim and Aleph, who say that the reason why a Ben Kfar might have to read the Megillah a second time is because he changes his status. He becomes a Ben Ear. And he writes the following: Ben Kfar. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Dibra Maskel Tosus of Ben Kfar. So Rava says over there that Ben Kfar Shalach Le'ir, Korei Imahem. So Tosfos says, because al yidei zeh shebola ir, nase keben ir. It's a brand new halacha that he takes on a new identity, he becomes a ben ir. And therefore he has to read the Megillah on Yud Dalet. And in fact, this halacha, that he becomes a ben ir, says the Ritva, in the case of a villager who read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, only applies if he comes the night of Yud Dalet. If he would come the morning of Yud Dalet, since he doesn't get the status as a Ben Ear, says the Ritva, in such a case he's not Chayav in Megillah. And this again proves that the din of a Ben Kfar is that he's really reading the Megillah Bizmana, that when they established the Megillah on Yud Aleph on behalf of the Ben Kfar, they established it as a Zman Kriya. And since it's a Zman Kriya, he would only be Chayav as a Ben Ear on Yud Dalet if he came there the night before, and therefore he sheds his old identity, and he takes on a new identity, he becomes a Ben Ear. is therefore at the end of this presentation, he says, Sarach Iyun Ma Dima Habes Yosef Yosef Shayor Leben Kfar. Ben Kfar Luchud, Vyosef Shayor Luchud. In the case of Ben Kfar, we're talking about a Megillah Bizmano. They gave them a different Zman for Kriyas HaMegillah. But in the case of the Yotzei B'Shayara, that's already a different Allah. That's not Zmano, but rather Allah that he can do the Maisa Kriya and achieve this minimalist Ones situation of Kriyas HaMegillah. So when the Beis Yosef wants to prove or demonstrate that a Yotzei B'Shayara would have to read in its time, he makes the analogy to Ben Kfar. That's not a fair analogy. But Ben Kfar doesn't necessarily have to read it on Yudalit. He was already Yotzei Kriya Bizmano. The teretz is that we might be mechayev him if he became a Ben Ir. Hadn't he shed his old identity and take on a new one, he was there at night. So he packs in at night. Now, Rabosai, I'd like to study with you, or at least kick off the next topic that's going to take us a while, and that's going to be the mitzvah of Amalek. And all the Sfarim on Purim address this issue of the mitzvah Zechiras Amalek, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So I have for you these handouts. You know, I took the opportunity again. You just take a picture of it or whatever you do, you feel, but pass it on to the rest of the guys. And this is a project that we want to begin today, and hopefully we'll spend a few more days on this next week. So the first page of this handout should be on the top right. It should say Shin Yud Beis. Am I correct?
No.
Oh. And we're talking about women and whether they're obligated in Parshas Zohar. Today it became almost standard practice that we have a special Kriya Parshas Zohar for the women, you know. And the Noshim Tzidkoniyos would never dream of not hearing Parshas Zohar. But if you go back to the original, it's not so poshut. The Sefer Achinuch, Paskins, Noshim Pturos Mi Mitzvahs Zechiras HaMolek. So the whole reading of Parshas Zohar, which is a fulfillment of Zecharias Asher Asol HaMolek, doesn't apply to women. And the Sefer Achinuch gives a very strange and challenging explanation as to why, how he knows that women are not obligated in Zechiras HaMolek. And he says, the Einam Benos Milchama. So again, if he was talking about the mitzvah of Milchemes HaMolek Nicha, women are exempt from Milchama. But now we're talking about the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. Zechiras HaMolek is not Milchama, so what does he mean, Einam Benos Milchama? And he goes on, the Sefer Achinuch, and he says the following, Kevon Shem Peturah saying, Mimachias HaMolek, is, I'm going to add a word here, Mimelaha, as a result, Peturah Skam came in Mitzvahs, Zecher HaMolek. In other words, the Sefer Achinuch takes two mitzvahs of HaMolek, and he integrates them. He makes them, Haba HaTalia, they're interdependent. Which means, if you're obligated in the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, then you're obligated in the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. But women who are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, because La Benos Milchama, is therefore, ipso facto, they're not chayev in the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. He claims, the Sefer Achinuch, because this was true in his day, that the minhag was that Noshim Peturos. Nobody went out of their way to get the women into shul to hear the parsha of Amon. That was the minhag in his time. Could be that some Sfaradim have that minhag today. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to check. In Ashkenazim, I think it's almost across the board that even amongst Chassidim and everybody, they all get the women together to hear Parsha Zohar, I think. I mean, you can look in the Mishnah Berurah, we'll be able to check it out. Does somebody want to do that for me? If you don't mind, like, take or pass it, or maybe Abby, you have a chance to do it. You have the Mishnah Berurah. Take a look, if you can, and see whether women have the minhag of hearing Parsha Zohar. It might be in that Siman that we skipped. I'm not sure. But you'll take a look. So Rav Soloveitchik claims that this whole discussion about women in Zechiras HaMolech really breaks down, it boils down to the following Chakira. How do we understand the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolech? Is it a mitzvah unto itself, an independent mitzvah, or is it an introduction to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolech? He says the following. If this mitzvah zechira is b'shvil sheyikayim mitzvah mechias amolek, we have to remember amolek in order to project us and prepare us and maybe energize us as to go out and battle against amolekim kein nashim einam benos melchama, and therefore they don't have the mitzvah zechira. Oh, or should we say no, that the mitzvah of zechiras amolek is an independent mitzvah unto itself? For those of you who are with me on Derech HaLimud, this would be a typical case of Derech HaLimud. When you have one mitzvah that seems to be an introduction to another mitzvah, you have to ask yourself, is it an introduction or is it an independent mitzvah? A perfect example would be, and we discussed this at great length, are women obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Do they have that mitzvah of Achil on Erev Yom Kippur? If you assume that mitzvah is part and parcel of fasting on Yom Kippur, the women are included. If you'll say it's a mitzvah to itself, it's on the 9th of Tishrei, that might set it up as a mitzvah Shazbar. But you can give millions of examples. I don't remember how many examples we gave back in the day. But here's a perfect example as to whether X is an introduction to Y, or X stands on its own two legs as an independent entity. The answer is going to be the following. If the mitzvah of Zechira is an introduction to Mechiyas HaMolech, then since I determine, if I can determine, that women are exempt from Mechiyas HaMolech, because Lav Benos Melchamanim, then women are exempt also from what? From Zechira HaMolech. If on the other hand, Zechira HaMolech is a mitzvah unto itself, then women should be obligated. It's not as much grown. It's any time, day, night, during the entire year.
It doesn't say anything about women. Nothing.
On
Zechiras HaMolech?
It doesn't say anything on Parshas Sofer about
women
in Michael.
It just says,
Yeshomon, and it's the Raisa. He's got to have it somewhere. I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, here.
It's not here. Okay, we have to know where it is. You have to be a Bucky in Mishnah Berurah. Maybe you can do a word search in Mishnah Berurah under Noshim Zechiras HaMolech. I don't know how you would find it. Yeah. So again, what's the sheet of the Sefer HaChinuch? Is Zechiras HaMolech independent, or is it intertwined and interdependent with Mechiyas HaMolech? What's the sheet of the Sefer HaChinuch?
It's not.
I don't know what not means. I give you two opportunities. So you're saying not. Maybe you're rejecting both. Maybe you have a third possibly.
What? She doesn't have the mitzvah of Mechiyas.
Right, so I'm asking again, I'll repeat my question. Is, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, is the mitzvah of Zechira an independent mitzvah, or is it an introduction to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolech? What's the answer?
It's independent.
Interdependent. It's an introduction to Mechiyas HaMolech. And therefore, insofar as women are exempt from Mechiyas HaMolech, Lav B'nei Melchama Ninu, they're also exempt from the mitzvah of Zechir.
Well, if that's the case, then why didn't Esther give that as an answer to Mordechai when he said, and so forth? She could say, I'm puttered, I don't have a mitzvah.
Right, but I do have a mitzvah of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael. Right, so she has to do whatever she can to save Klal Yisrael. The fact that she's not chayv to destroy a molek, we're not going to send her out to the front lines to kill Haman, but she still has to do her maximum to save Klal Yisrael. You know, there's a hakira whether she's allowed to have a relationship with Achashverosh in order to save Klal Yisrael, you know, Isha Kaka Olam and all that discussion.
Right. The same way.
Certainly she has to do her maximum. You know, she hides hides her identity in the house of the palace of Achashverosh, is then Rebbe Fatzol Yabdu Yehudim Mokam Acher Ve'atu Beis Avich Tove. So he writes over here that the Minchas Chinuch adds the following sentence here. He says, Gam mi omay besod Hashem Yisbarach imatam mechias machmas hanakoma the efshus exeris hakosu she nizkar sin also me ezetam sheyia. In other words, if the mitzvah zechira is part of nekama, meaning that we have to destroy Amalek, then the Sefer HaChinuch is right. Then women don't have to destroy Amalek, they don't have to remember Amalek. But mi oled besod zeh, sod Hashem. How does the Sefer HaChinuch know such a thing? What is the proof that would undermine the following statement, the Gezeiras HaKosher should announce Kirsin Osa, that the Torah is just commanding us, for whatever reason unknown to us, that we have to remember our hatred for Amalek. Be Amal B'Sod Hashem. Very interesting. You know, it's like the Minchas Chinuch is sort of implying a critique here. You know, who whispered, who revealed the secret to the Sefer HaChinuch? Maybe it's Gezeiras HaKosher. The Torah is saying you have to remember the sinner that we have for Amalek. And that's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon men and women. You're telling me no, it's all part of Nekama. Maybe it's not all part of Nekama. Who? How do you prove that this Zechira is part of Nekama? Oh, so there's a Rambam. The Rambam in Perakei Mehilchos Melachim says the following: Umitzvos Aseh Lizkar Tamid Maisav Haroim. We have to constantly remind ourselves of the terrible actions that were perpetrated by Amalek against the Jewish people, the Arev Vaso, and the fact that he Amalek attacked us. Kidei la'orer evaso, in order to stimulate our hatred against him. Shenemar zocher asher asal Amalek. So what is the Rambam saying? Is the Rambam saying that
he's saying what we say as well as that. If you're guilty of incitement, you're guilty of having been participating in the killing.
No, but I'm asking something else. We're trying to answer the following question: is the mitzvah of Zechira an independent mitzvah, or it's an introduction to the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek?
So the incitement, if incitement is the same thing as actually performing the killing, then we see that they are independent. They're not separate.
Why? Does the Rambam say anything about Melchama here? Listen to the Rambam. Again, don't forget the Minchas Chinuch, right? The Minchas Chinuch says maybe it's a Gezeiras HaKosev, Shenizkar Sin also. So let's read the Rambam. The Rambam says, Mitzvos Aseh, Lizkar Tomid, Maisav Haroim.
Today.
Right, Kedei La'or Evaso. You know, that we didn't hate him, but
we should kill him.
Yeah. The Rambam doesn't go as far as to say that there's a Melchama.
Yeah, but they're not saying that the women are doing it. They just have to remember it so they will hate them. Right. They hate them. They're supposed to remember it so they can influence those that are hired to kill them. There.
Again, maybe you're right, but we don't know. I mean, the Rambam doesn't give us a clue. Oh, but the Rav says, take a look at the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. And here's where the Rambam really commits himself. He writes the following. This is Mitzvah Seh Kuf Pei Tes. Shetzimanu Lizkar, etc., etc., Shenemar, Shenomar Zeh, meaning that we should make this declaration, Bechol Eis, Shenaorer Hanefoshos, Bimamorom, Lihilachem Bo. Again, the language is a little bit stiff here because it was written in Arabic, but what the Rambam is saying is, Kidei, right? Kidei Shenaorer, etc., etc., Be Omram Lihilachem Bo. In other words, we're going to make a statement that we remember Amalek and all that he perpetrated and all that he does to us and his hatred to us, and now we're going to go out to battle. So the Lihilachem Bo is a result or sequential later in sequence to the Hisorus of Anefesh. And what is this Orus Anefesh? That's Zechiras Amalek. So again, here's the Chagadya according to the Rambam. Number one, you have to remember Amalek and whatever they perpetrated. Number two, we have to be ma'orer and our nefesh. You know, let's get psyched up to hate Amalek for the terrible things that they perpetrate. And number three, then we're ready for a maimer li'lochem bo. We're ready for a declaration. We're ready to fight Amalek. Hare, this is rather the Hari Kedem talking. The Tachlis HaMitzvah Yamulchama. That this entire string culminates with the battle against Amalek. That would mean that we could put the Rambam into the camp of the Sefer HaChinuch, and they both agree that Zechiras HaMolek is an introduction to Mechias HaMolek. And then the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos adds the following comment. He says, Halo Tireh Shmuel HaNovi. Look at the way Shmuel couched his language, his presentation, when he wanted to impose upon Shaul the obligation to go out and fight HaMolek. And he says the following, Kishehiskil lasos ha-mitzvah hazos, eich osa shu zochar tchila ma'aseihu ha-ra, v'yach kach tzima lahorga. If you read through the parasha in Shmuel, Shmuel goes out of his way to remember, to remind us of all the terrible deeds that Amalek perpetrated against the Jewish people, and then he commands Shaul to go out in battle. It would seem from the Rambam's presentation that the Rambam understood that all of this zechira is a prerequisite to project us to the next stage, which is killing Amalek. Mevur, says Ari, the tachlis has clear he mechias amol. Now he asks the following question. We have a parsha of Amolek in Ki Tetzeh, and that's the one where it says Zohar is Asher Solachol Amolek, but we also have a parsha of Amolek in Bishalach. What would be if a person read the parsha in Bishalach? Would he fulfill his obligation of Zechiras HaMolek? And this is a very famous issue in the post. They go to town with this issue, back and forth. So Hashela shall Poskim im Yotzim they kriya b'parshas shall parshas Zochi they kriya parshas Vayom HaMolek b'parshas B'shalach. So the Magen Avraham says yes, and other Poskim say no. And he says the following: Disham muzkar ha'maisa da'amolik, aval lo muzkar sham she'anachnu mechuyavim la'hachriz zera amolik. In other words, if we're going to assume, like the Chinuch and the Rambam, that this mitzvah of zechiras amolik is part and parcel of la'hachriz zera amolik, then it doesn't make any sense to read Parshas B'Shalach. Why? Because although in Parshas B'Shalach is Muzkar Maisa Damolik, below Muzkar Shom Shanachnu Mechuyovim LaHachri Sein Damolik. In other words, what the Rav is claiming is that if you assume like the Chinuch and the Rambam, then what we have to do with Zechiras HaMolek is, number one, formulate a remembrance of all that was perpetrated upon us by HaMolek, and number two, we have to emphasize that now we have to go out to battle against HaMolek. We're obligated to do so. Your punchline is missing in Parshas B'Shalach.
But that brings up another question, though, then too. Because if it were mentioned in two different places, and then you could say that they are related, but they're separate mitzvahs, because there's one in one place, one in the other place. But if you require the Parsha that mentions them both in the same place, you can tie to that it's only really one mitzvah and it's not two mitzvahs. Yeah, that's why you need you have to read the parsha where it's mentioned both of them at the same time.
Again, let me just reiterate his premise, and tell me if you agree, it's up to you. His premise is that if A, then B. If A, the mitzvah of Zechir Samolik is a preparatory stage for Melchama, then B, in the Zechir itself, we would have to mention the Melchama. Because otherwise, you haven't feared ice. You know, you haven't finished it up. You know, you started by telling me that we should remember the terrible things that Amalek did against us, but you didn't tell me Iker Chosman is safer, that now we have to go out to battle against them. So again, if we open up, I don't have a Chamisha Chum Sheitoria, but if you open up to Parsha Zohar, it says there that go out and battle. But if you open up to Bishalach, it says Asher Korcho Benderech and Nechsholom Achreichem and all the terrible things that they did to us. But the statement doesn't say a word about going out and beating them and destroying them. So he wants to claim, Rav Soloveitchik, that the Machlokas HaPoskim as to whether you can, according to the Magen Avraham, be Yotze with Parshas Bishalach, Or you cannot, according to the other poskim. He doesn't name them here, but we can look in the Mishnah Berurah. Depends upon this kakira. If you're talking about a mitzvah that's an introduction to milchama, then you want to read Parshas Zohar. If you're talking about remembering the terrible things that they did to us, then Parshas B'Shalach would be fine. It's a very nice presentation. He says, but wait a second. The whole premise of this whole structure of the Chinuch and the Rambam is that women are exempt from the mitzvah Mechiyas
Samalek. Not the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say women are Peturah. All he said is that all he does is he ties the Zechira to Melchama. But the Rambam doesn't say anything about women being Peturah.
Right.
It's really just
that. Maybe other Rambam said I have in mind. But he says the following. What do you mean women are not obligated to go out and destroy a mullet? The Mishnah says in Sota that there's a difference between Melchemes Rishus and Melchemes Mitzvah. That whereas in Melchemes Rishus, women are not part of that Mitzvah, but nevertheless in Melchemes Mitzvah, HaKol Yotzim Afilu Kala Michu Pasa. This is a very, very famous kasha. So again, in the light of the Mishnah in Sota, the conclusion should be that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Mechiyas Hamolek because it's a classical case of Melchemes Mitzvah. So how can the Sefer HaChinuch assume that women are exempt from Mechiyas Hamolek? V'achein nireh, that there's another reason why the Sefer HaChinuch believes that women are exempt from the mitzvah Okay, so at this point, if I'm not mistaken, the Rav wants to part ways with the Sefer HaChinuch, at least partially. And he's saying the following, I'm going to draw the same conclusion as the Sefer HaChinuch, namely that women are exempt from Zechiras HaMalek, but not for the same reason. It's not because they're exempt from Milchama, but based on the Ramban. The Ramban says, Ma'ani Mekayim Zohar Shetehe Shona Beficha, the Sifra means shetehe shona beficha. There are two chidushim here in the Sifra. Number one, zechir is not just thinking, it's not just the state of consciousness, but you need beficha. You got to do something oral, some verbal statement. And then the second chidush is the word shona. What does the word shona mean in Chazal?
To learn.
In other words, what the Sifra is doing for us, it's taking Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and putting it into a framework of Talmud Torah. The Ayin Shom B'Pirush HaRavid, I have this somewhere in my library, but don't ask me where. Shekosav, the Tehei Shona B'Ficha Hilchas Megillah. Wild. The Zechiras HaMolik means to learn Hilchas Megillah. The next time we open up a Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Megillah, we have to have in mind the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. Shehu al yidei Talmud Torah shel inyanim eile. That any Talmud Torah, like what we're doing now, in which we're studying the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, is itself a cube of the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. But v'limud halacha shel Mechiyas HaMolek, and included in that is to learn any halachas that deal with destroying Amalek. But Kevah the Noshim Peturus V'Talmud Torah Yishlom V'Dachiyuv Zeh Shalimud Torah Lochal Aleihem. Whole new reason why women are exempt from Zechiras Amalek. And it's all based on the Sifra. This Sifra seems to put Zechiras Amalek into a framework of Talmud Torah. And I'm wondering if it might even require tzibur, because the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek as Talmud Torah is not just Talmud Torah the Yachid, but Talmud Torah the Rav. And if you take a look on the side here, I'll talk about myself in third person. Somebody wrote that lo pashut klal shenoshim peturus mitalmud Torah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the peturah of women in Talmud Torah only applies to mitzvahs that they're potter from them. But if they're shayach to the mitzvah, like for example, Zechiras HaMolek, then perhaps they should be obligated in this Talmud Torah. In other words, Rav Soloveitchik is assuming that there's a blanket, all-inclusive patur of an exemption of women from Talmud Torah. But the truth is that there are certain parts of Torah that women are obligated to study. And if we assume that Zechiras HaMolek in and of itself is applicable to women, Ella, what they have to fulfill it through via the avenue of Talmud Torah, then maybe they should be learning these halachas because fundamentally they're obligated in the midst of Zechir. Now he mentions his father who had a minhag that many people when they hear HaMolek as it's read from the Torah, they read along with the Baal Kori. He says Rav Moshe was very makbid that he should hear it from the Baal Kori directly, and he should not be reading it along with the Baal Kori in a low tone. Why? Because it's halacha of Shomei Ka'ona. And Shomei Ka'ona means if I'm quiet and I hear you a bracha, or in this case I hear the kriya, I'm yotze. He says, "Kevan shayitzarch lotzei sidei chovim yidin shomei ka'ona ki chiyuv parsha zochri chovas kriya velo shmiya." The mitzvah is kriya and not shmiya, so I have to somehow link up to your kriya. And if I do my own personal kriya, then I'm not linked up to your kriya. And that's based on the sifra shetehei shoneh beficha. The sifra says,
"Why does he have to link up to the Bakarin's kriya? Why can't he be yotzei with his own kriya?" If it's the mitzvah's kriya, it's even better to do it yourself.
Oh, so the answer is that we have to ask a different question. Why is it that we're only yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek in a kriya b'tzibur, right? When the whole tzibur gets together to read it from a sefer Torah? Why not just take out a chumash and read the parasha of HaMolek and then you yotzei the mitzvah of Zechira? Why is it that Shon v'Ficha require that the tzibur get together and fulfill this mitzvah as one whole entity, and therefore there's a mitzvah of kriya, and I have to listen to your kriya, and through Shomei Ka'ona I become the kore? So he says the following: Hatzibur kulo yotze yidei chovas kriya al yidei kavana lotzeis bekriyas bala kore. There's the tzibur as a tzibur are going to be yotze by listening to the bal kore, and a lot of people read along, and he's saying that their emotion was opposed to it. You'll have the same thing also in Chazaras HaShatz, for example, or in Kriyas HaTorah. You know, people read along with the Baal Koreh, and he says the moment you do that, you're removing yourself from that one Kriya, the Maisa Kriya, on behalf of the entire Tzibur.
But he didn't do that on the regular Pasha, he only did it on Pasha Zohar when he got to Aliyah. Meaning, there isn't the problem being the Baal Koreh, as you know, a second Baal Koreh from the Sefer Torah, Kosher Sefer Torah, when you get to Aliyah. He only didn't do it on Pasha Zohar.
You know that for a fact.
He starts with Shaya Kibla Aliyah LePasha Zohar. He didn't say Shaquille Aliyah, but all year long. He's only Pasha Zohar he wouldn't read along. Mistam he read along on any other Aliyah he got.
You think? I don't know. I would think so too.
I agree.
Because I think. Oh yeah, he says in the next paragraph. Take a look.
That's what I wrote there.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let's go slowly here. You're right. You know, there's a lot here. He says the following. He says in Cain. One second, I lost the flow. He said, "Yidei kavod lotzeis v'kriyas bal korei midin shomei im kein gam hu chayv lotzeis yachad im kolat sibur mea bal korei."
That's a chiddush.
Yeah.
Uh huh. In other words, even though he's getting an aliyah, he has the same status as everyone else in the. Again, if he's the one who's reading it, that's great. But if he's not reading it, he's got to hear the bal korei. V'ilu hoya. Gamhu kore liatzmo. If he reads it along with the bal kore, then I am a kalkula inyan shal yidei amiras kol mila shtei pa'amim. He talking shein yotze biofen kazeh. Lachenim ushosek yotze gam rak im kriyas bal kore. So in other words, if he wants the yotze with this one kriya of everybody, which we have to understand why that's so, then he can only do so if he's not reading along. Because the moment he's reading along, he doesn't hear the kriya of the Baal Koreh. V'tochen shein yotzei biofen zeh lochein yishosek v'yotzei rak im kriyas Baal Koreh. You know, it reminds me a little bit of what I wanted to claim about the Asanoi. He shouldn't be lighting his own Ner Chanukah. He should be linking up with the one Adlaka of the entire bias. You remember that?
Right.
Below din shomei ka'ona, da'chiv hu l'shmoa kriyas ha'torah, below likro v'torah. So he's being mechalik between kriya and shmiya. V'zeh pshita deinu mafsid ha'shmiya al yidei shekori gam bi'atzma. So let's just see if we can figure out what he's saying over here. In a case of Zohar, there it's shomei ka'ona, and he's got to read it himself. And he can only read it himself if he's Yotze through the Kriya of the... So again, the mitzvah is Kriya. But in the case of a general Kriya Satorah of the whole year round, there the mitzvah is not Kriya, but rather it's Shmir. I'm a little bit shocked here because unless I'm dumb, he doesn't seem to explain himself here.
The last part. So he's saying that the difference all year round is only mitzvah shmiya and mitzvah kriya.
Yeah.
So he's saying shalom, you know, mafshid but shmiya like they should korigam. So,
but
what's the reason to read it?
Why is zachar a mitzvah kriya and the whole year round a mitzvah shmiya? Am I missing something?
Because in the sifra, did you have to do with pepet? I'm normally Kriya Satara. There's only a mitzvah to hear the Kriya Satara.
So it's some sort of
mitzvah to read it.
Based on
there's no mitzvah for the tzibur to read the parsha, just to hear the parsha.
So why is an Ola the Torah? Why does he read it
later? That's a question. Why does the Ola the Torah bother at all?
Yeah, why do you bother reading it along?
Why does he bother at all?
Right.
That's a good question.
It would seem.
I mean, the rest of the year.
The rest of the year.
It would seem actually it should be the other way around.
Right. Abraham Soloveitchik himself used to read it along. The Bostonians used to complain that
he was very loud.
You couldn't hear the Kriya of the Malkori because the Rav used to read it along out loud. You know. There's the mitzvah Shmiya. Why is he?
Because the real mitzvah is the Ola to read it.
Which why I mean,
the real man, the Gemara was the Ola read.
So let him tell the Balkari not to read.
Well, that's what I would have thought. Moshe would have said on when he got the Aliyah by himself that he himself would have read it, not the Balkari.
Yeah,
and I get the best of all worlds. I'm reading and I'm being Yotzei in the Tzibur.
Right. Yeah, that's simple. That's been the smooth way of doing it.
Yeah, it's what he should have done.
The Mahajan.
You say it's really the other way around. The Shmiya is the mitzvah by Amalek. And that's right, because it has to be tzibur, the whole tzibur has to hear it at the same time, and therefore you don't want to read separately from that.
But that's not what he said.
That's not the tzibur. I mean, that sounds good.
But that's not what he said. He said Shemaya Gaon.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's like you're reading it.
Correct.
He wants to achieve kriya.
Right.
And it's got to be one kriya of a heart. You're linking into the kriya of the Baal Korin.
Right.
Because somehow if you read it yourself, and that's what I asked you before, Yechiel, let me just take out a chumash and read Parsha Zohar. Yeah. And why isn't that a kiyum of zechira? For some reason, they established it as a chovas tzibur.
He doesn't even address that. You don't get that from the sifra. The sifra doesn't say it has to be a tzibur.
Right, for sure not.
So it's where did you get the tzibur part from?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And not only that, you know, again, it says she shona beficha in the sifra, but you know, I don't understand why that. Where did the Sifra get that from? Because,
right.
You know, Zechira means to remember. I don't know if it has to be Kore.
Right.
You know, maybe Shmiya would be enough even, you know, but why Kriya? Yeah, I wonder where the Sifra got that from. And the writer goes even a step further, that you don't even have to read the Parsha of Amalek, just read Hilchos Megillah. And you don't say the Mitzvah of Zechira Samalek. But the truth of the matter is that Vaistois, I mean, this you can't deny. They established some sort of Kriya of the Tzibur. But here he's saying that the Kriya of the Tzibur on Amalek is different than the Kriya of the Torah the whole year round. And therefore, it's not terrible if I read along. He doesn't tell you why he advocates reading along.
Mm-hmm. Would I also could I also draw a conclusion of Sifra that it would apply to every other Zohar in turn?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, he goes through everything. He says learning Hilchos Shabbos in the Goyim, you know, it says Zohar Os Hashem LeMiriam. So you read Parsha, you read Hilchos Negoyim.
But in the same
study Hilchos Negoyim.
The same way there's the Chiyuv Kriya on everyone's part, and you have to be Yotzei through Shamei Ka'on. And I mean that would if you're not going to do it yourself. other words, what's my obligation?
Again, you know, if you're learning Hilchos Megillah, I don't think there's a Kiyum Tzibur. You know, it's very odd here because, on the one hand, if you're telling me that the Sifra is going to project us to this concept of Kriya as opposed to Shmiya, and that's going to justify why we're reading it as one Tzibur, but he says learn Hilchos Megillah. That's
yeah,
the right.
It's difficult.
Very strange that he doesn't flesh this out.
The rabbi is different because the Gemara does talk about a Kriya B'Tzibur of one of the Abra Parshias.
All the Abra Parshias are read B'Tzibur, and the question
is, what does the rabbi do with that? How does the rabbi can't neglect that? It's a din of the Gemara of Abra Parshias.
Well, you know, the Sifra could be thinking on its own. You know, I don't know. You notice that in brackets here, which is in the paragraph number Beis, you know, the first paragraph of Beis, if you see the brackets about five lines up, he writes the Ein Parsha Zocher B'Yachid. I mean, he's not explaining why, but the given is that there's a Chovas Tzibur here. That
right, I can't just take out a Sefer Torah and read it.
Although again, we're not denying that there's a Chovas Yachid. I mean, I have to remember Amole. But the mode of Kiyum, again, I don't know if this is the Reis or the Rabbanon, is that I'm Yotze, not B'yochid, but through the Kriya of the Tzibur. And he assumes that you need a Kriya. Shetehei, right? Shetehei Shona B'ficha. And if it's a Chovas Kriya, then don't read along with the Balkari because you're going to forfeit that Kriya of the Tzibur. Again, we're assuming it's... There are two chidushim here. Two elements that conditions have to be met. It's got to be the tzibur, it's got to be kriya as opposed to shmir. And when you combine those two, what you end up with is that if you don't hear the kriya of the tzibur, then where was your kriya? And that's what he claims in Shomei Ka'ona. I'm a little bit perplexed about Shomei Ka'ona, but again, Shomei Ka'ona is a very complicated sugya. Now here in Kuf Pei Vav, you have that also, right, in the pages?
Yeah.
This is the most radical Chiddush of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that I know of. And this is a question of how to define the Nazis, maybe Palestinians in some cases. You know, I don't know which Palestinians are trying to kill us and which aren't. That becomes very complicated. But in any event, he's medayik. Rav Moshe builds tilei tilim on a diuk in the Rambam, and the diuk in the Rambam is not really from what the Rambam says, but rather what the Rambam doesn't say. It's a very edel, you know, very adin kind of diuk, and he builds worlds on this. I mean, this has major implications. You know, the Rav was opposed to reparations from the Nazis, when the state of Israel needed it to build roads. And it's all based on this diuk of Rav Moshe. The Rambam says in Halacha Dalet in Perkei Milchus Malachim, Mitzvah Seila Hachrim Shivas Amim. And the Rambam adds Ukvar Avad Zichram, which means that today we're not obligated to destroy the Zion Amim. They're all mixed up. You know, Basan Cheriv Bilbil Asan Umos. But when you read the very next Halacha in the Rambam, Okay, Mitzvah Seili Amim. And the Rambam says nothing about Avad Zichram. Wait, I just noticed something interesting here. B'chein mitzvah say li Avad Zichram akshen emetim mitzvah say lizkar tomin. I'm not sure. You know, I was thinking in the very fact that the Rambam integrates this into one halacha maybe proves that it's Avad Atalia, if you follow what I mean. But then it's funny because he starts with the mitzvah of La'aved and then he goes on to the mitzvah of Zohar. I don't know. So comes along Rav Moshe, and this you'll see on page Shin Yud Dalet, and he says the following, that the Rambam omitted Kvar Avad Zichram, which means Basan Cherev, with regard to Amalek. How could that be? I mean, Amalek is a nation, right? These are the descendants of Esav, Amalek. And to support this diuk, he says that the Torah adds midar dar. Now that seems to be almost a guarantee that despite Sancheirev, there still is Amalek. But again, that's on a divine level. You mean like Milchama Hashem Ba'amalek Midot? I don't know. I'm not sure if that's a total diuk. He says, Shamati Pami Pi Abba Mori Hagram Zatzal. And we don't know this from any other source except from the Rav quoting his father. I don't think it's published anywhere. But that doesn't prove a thing because the Brisk is hardly published. He says, Kol Uma Hamisnakeles Lachalos Es Knesses Yisrael. So if the Arabs say we want to drive the Jews into the sea, and they've said, but again, I don't know if it's all the Arabs or not. Then Hofeches Alpi, that Uma Hofeches Alpi Aloch Lamolik. In other words, again, it's all because the Rambam did not bother repeating himself to say Kfar Oved Zichram in Aloch Adal when he gets to Amolik. Maybe the Rambam says V'chein at the beginning of the Aloch, so maybe he understood that it's Kfar Oved Zichram. I don't know. But Rav Moshe says, no, this halacha is a separate independent halacha, there's no kfar oved zichra. It's midar l'dar. So how can it be midar l'dar? Sancheirav mixed up all the umma. So who is Amalek? Will the real Amaleki please stand up? And the answer is Amalek is a concept. It's a nation that, you know, it's like, what do they call it in Scrabble, that doesn't have a letter on it. What's it called? You know, I'm talking about the blank.
You got blank.
It's called a blank. So Amalek is a blank. You know, any nation can decide we are Amalek. Why? Because we get up and we make a statement. L'chu v'nakchideh migoy. You know, let's destroy the Jewish nation. They become Amalek. Haynu shenitz tavenu be'inyan mechias Amalek v'shtei mitzvahs. Oh, this part I didn't remember. Achas limcho says zichro shal Amalek. And it says Timcha Zeichra Molek v'Himitzah Mutels Kol Echvech Limchos Kol Echad Mizaro Shalom Molek. So we're talking about an individual, right? I think I told you the story once that my father was at a wedding with Rav Moshe Bick. So you know, Rav Moshe, again, you can't say this publicly, but he went to YU. He was a Kanoi. You know, he was more Kanoi than Satmar, and just for the fun of it, the Chevra said to Rav Moshe Bick, if we told you that this guy was an Amaleki, what would you do? So Rav Moshe says, I pull out my sword and kill him on the spot. So that's what he's saying. In other words, it's not a Chomas Tzibur to destroy Amalek as a nation, but to destroy every single member of Amalek, every Amaleki. But Shein is in another dimension of the mitzvah. Lachem ba'amolik v'toras am, melcham al Hashem ba'amolik midar dar. That's the tzibur has to go out to battle against Amolik as a tzibur. And here the mitzvah is not limited to zera Amolik, but any umma that becomes Amolik, they take on the identity of Amolik because they say we're going to destroy the Jewish people. That's only on Zera Amalek Bilvad. So for today when Basan Chayr Bilvus Chomus, we cannot achieve this Chomus Yoch. So it's not like Rav Moshe Bick, right? Because I won't be able to tell you that this guy is an Amalek. No, that's what they asked Rav Moshe. Let's say we could prove to you that this guy, you know, this guy's a real Amaleki. You know, San Chayr didn't get to him. You know what I'm saying? So that would be a Chovas Yom. But in terms of the Chovas Tzibur vis-a-vis the Am of Amalek, that's not a physical nation of a particular genetic code, but rather any nation could take on this identity as Amalek. And hence the Nazis were probably Amalek, according to this. I mean, I don't know if anybody could have any doubt about it, you know, because Hitler, Yimach Shemo, said that we're going to just completely Judenrein, you know, destroy and liquidate the entire Jewish nation. But that has repercussions in halacha because you're not allowed to have any hanah from Amalek. You know, all the possessions of Amalek have to be destroyed. You're not allowed to benefit from them.
Where does it say that? It says that by Zion Amun. Where does it say that by Amalek also?
I think it says it by Amalek, right. That we're not allowed to take booty from Amalek and we can't take shalom and we have to destroy all the possessions. I, if you want, I'll research for that. Just send me a quick email. So that's what Rav Salvechik, I think, is quoted as saying, and this is way before my time, that he was opposed to reparations. At the end of the day, he allowed it. He changed his mind because he knew that the whole state of Israel depended upon reparations. And we don't know that today. You know, it's like, it's a different period of history. I mean, reparations might be important, but that's not what keeps the state of Israel going. But at that time, it was like, it was critical.
He you know, told her, her Sapta Vigami Rashta.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, so I guess it's time for Mincha. And if we can make a note of it, maybe it'll help me remember where we got up to. We're on the top column on the left on Shin Yud Dalet. You should have another page on the other side, am I right? At least one or two.
Yeah.
All right, so Blinetta will pick that up on Sunday. Al-Malik is going to take us a little time. You know, it's one dimension of Purim that I never got a chance to really study. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to do it. So take this opportunity to wish everyone a good Shabbos. And pleasant dreams. You know, I don't want you to dream about Amole. You know? Although it might be a key of a Sechira. It's not a key, it's not a Chavasiva, it's a Chavas Yachid, you know.